Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Hey. We're holding at Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah. And we're continuing to talk about the halachos that apply to a korban chatos. Number one, when any blood gets spritzed on a beged. Number two, the follow-up pasuk in Parshas Tzav that deals with these halachos talks about a kli cheres. Asher tevushal voy yishover, it has to be broken. V'im b'chli nechoishes bushola umoyrek v'shutaf b'moyim, a metal kli requires merika ushtifa. Where do these take place? You'll recall from yesterday's Mishnah and from yesterday's Gemara, just like the din of kibus begodim takes place, the mokum kodosh, like it says v'fedish in the pasuk, the chavis mokum kodosh, because of the connecting vavs, uchli cheres. Both the shvira of the kli cheres and the mariku shtifa of the kli marches also have to take place in the azar. Ishok the Mishnah. What happens if after the beged got splattered with some dam chatos and now it requires kibbutz b'makom kadosh, someone either intentionally or absent-mindedly took this beged out, chutz l'klayim, outside the azara, oy vavoy, no problem, nichnas v'mechabes v'makom kodesh, just bring it back in. It doesn't become posel benoiser, you're not going to go and eat from this beged anyway, so bring it back in, and you'll do the kibbutz v'makom kodesh. It's a problem, however. What happens if the beged becomes tamei, chutz l'klayim, oy vavoy, it's now tamei. You're not allowed to bring tumah into the Beis HaMikdash. Just like a person who is tumah is not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to bring in an item that is tumah and bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Masechtis Erevin and Daf Kuf Dalet talks about that, as well as Rambam in Hilchos Klei Mikdash says, although both of them are osir, if a person goes into the azar when he's tameh, he gets kares. If he brings in a kli or something else which is tameh, it's an iser for which he gets malchus. You don't get kares. Well, the mice, it's an iser. So now that it's osir, what do? The beged has become tameh. I can't bring it into the kloim anymore, into the azara. You're not allowed to come to azara with a dover tameh, you get malchus. So the Mishnah have an eitzah. Koyroi, take that beged and go and tear it, and then bring it into the Beis HaMikdash after it's been torn, and then nichnas u'mechabse memokim kodesh. The Gemara immediately is going to make a ganze gishrai. I saw on Ariel's face that he wanted to ask the same kasha, and that is, once you go and tear it, so it's going to be no longer a beged, and the Torah is requiring that you take the beged into chabis memokim kodesh. Once it's a, if you tore it and it's a rag, the chayit loses all of its din. The purpose of tearing it is to go and take away the tumah, maskim. But once you take away the tumah, you take away the shame beged as well. So the chayit, it's already too late to do now the kibbutz b'makom kodesh. The Gemara is going to address that momentarily. And we have the same two shakle v'tarias in our Mishnah. First, the gabi kli cheres shiyotze chutz l'kloim. Same thing, this kli cheres is unfortunately full of bliois of karbonois. And now the problem is, I have to go and do now a shvira, and someone took it, yotzechus lekloim. So what do? No problem. Nichnas, go back in, and vishoyre makam kodesh. Do your shvira makam kodesh. You shouldn't have taken it out in the first place, okay, but nothing happened as a result, so bring it back in, to the shvira makam kodesh. But what happens if it becomes nitma chutz l'klayim? Oy, this kli became tummy. I'm not allowed to bring the kli back in. But at the same time, I don't want to go and destroy it outside the Beis HaMikdash because I have a mitzvah of shvira v'makom kodesh. So noikvay, you make a tiny little hole to go and remove the tuma. And now, after you have that hole in it, it loses its shame kli in terms of it's no longer tummy, now it is tahor. However, I still have to be shover, making that little hole didn't do a shavira. And now he brings it in to shover him a mokoyim kodesh. And he's going to ask the same kasha as we just asked a moment ago. Once you make the hole in it, l'chayre, it loses its shame kli. Once it loses its shame kli, how does it help that you bring it in to be shover mokoyim kodesh? L'chayre, it's already broken. Munat tvira tovar. He went and broke a broken kli. Mishnah Migmar will address this. And again, the third one of this three halachas, Klina Choishes. She yotza chutz leklaim, the Klina Choishes, which is supposed to do a Marika Ushtifa. What happened? It went chutz leklaim. Okay, Nishkefelech. Nichnasa Marka Vishaypa Makim Kodesh. Bring it back in. But when Amaz Nitma becomes Tamei, chutz leklaim, Poichsu means, says Rashi, make a larger hole, not like that small little hole that we're talking about before. You make a larger hole, and the nichnas, bring it back into the base. And again, the same kashan, the same question is going to arise in the Gemara. Once you've broken it, it's no longer kli. How does it help to do now Marika Shtifa, where the Torah requires that the kli nechoishes is going to have, the kli nechoishes is going to have Marika Shtifa. The kli is os kli because you've made a hole. So we're going to talk about this in the Gemara. Zok Gemara. Maskal Ravina. Remember, we started off with the Beged. The Beged became Tomei, unfortunately. It's now outside the Beis HaMikdash. What do I do? On the one hand, I'm not allowed to bring it in. But number two, I have a mitzvah to bring it in to do the kibbutz b'makom kodesh. Zok di yimara omrach. Maskev ravina koiroi beged omrach manet. Didn't the Torah refer to this as a beged? What's the lashon pasuk? Vashe yizam idoma al ha beged. Asher yizol leh the chabis b'makom kodesh. The chabis, you have to go be mechabis the beged. Once it's torn, lechoyr, it's no longer. Just like the tearing of it has done a great job and having the tumah leave, and now it's tar, good, but now it's no longer a beged for purposes of the kibbutz begodim in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara. So the Gemara has to now find kind of a middle way. We're going to have to do something that's going to take away the shem beged for purposes tumah v'tahara, but it's going to retain the shem beged for purposes of the kibbutz begodim. So says the Gemara, you know what we're going to do? So Rashi explains, if you really wanted to take this beged and destroy its shame beged for all purposes, you'd have to go and tear it al kulay, the entire beged. Think of a large talus, you'd have to go and divide it all the way in half from top to bottom. You'd have to go and be mavdil esakeres, says Rashi, al pnei kulay. Then clearly, then all the tumah would go away. But also the shame beged would go away. We want to retain the shame beged, because that's the whole purpose of bringing it back in for the kibbutz begodim. So instead of going and tearing it fully, kulay, says Rashi, it's enough min ha-toyde to go and tear it rubai, roiv. Rubai kulay, once roiv it is torn, we're fine. And you don't have to go and tear it in a destructive manner. Rashi says, go and do it on the seam, if you will. Once you do it on the seam, you can presumably go and sew it back up again. But what happens now over here? You have to leave over at least a shear of a kedei ma'afoyris. What's the definition of ma'afoyris? The art scroll says it's a kerchief. Kerchief is not just a handkerchief. It's larger than a handkerchief. And it's usually something that one wears around the neck, like a scarf. And if the women wear it, they'll wear it on top of their sheitlach, on top of their hairdo, or whatever it is. And that's a nice kerchief. It's a larger beged. So at that point, if it's as large as your mafoyer is, so even though the first begetaka became tohar because of the fact that I tore it rubai, however, by the fact that I left over a shear of kedei mafoyeris, which is a beged choshev on its own, because people wear kerchiefs. So as long as you leave over that shear of beged, whatever that amount is, good. So now I'm mekayim both. It's no longer tame because I tore it rubai. And therefore it's no longer beged for hilchas tumah v'tahara, and now it's tar, so I can bring it back in. But there's still a chiev of cleansing it, kibbutz makom kodesh, by the fact that it's a sheer beged, a beged choshev of a kedei mafayrus.
Why isn't the tumah chazer v'neir? Because now it's a new. Why does the tumah leave the chetza?
Mm-hmm. We don't always say chazer v'neir. Sometimes yes, sometimes nesh. No, we have the Gemara says we don't. Right, Gemara eini. V'omer Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, loishanu elish loishir ba kedei mafayrus. Avishir ba kedei mafayrus chibur hava. Rav Huna is talking Lagabi Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, and he's saying Lagabi Tumah V'Tahara. When do I go and say that the Tumah goes away? It's Poreach Ba'avir, it leaves. That's only Shaloi Shir Bakadei Mafoyris. that you have destroyed it sufficiently, you have torn it sufficiently, that it's so little left that it doesn't have a kedei mafayrus. Mm-hmm. But a shiva kedei mafayrus, if you've left over a beged choshev beside the kedei mafayrus, chibur habe, it is a chibur, and the last Rashi says all on the bottom, v'adayin hu b'tumasai. In other words, Rafuna is saying is that was a very good try, very good attempt to be able to deal with both halachas and address both of them satisfactorily. But Rafuna says, I'm sorry, Rafuna is not talking about our Mishnah. Rafuna is talking generally. He's saying that whenever you have a beged which became tameh, and you want to go and remove the tumah from that beged, then you have to tear it, not only just roiv, but roiv plus that you don't have a kedei mafoyrus left. Whatever the shear of a kedei mafoyrus, let's assume it's a foot by a foot. If it happens to be a kedei mafoyrus, if you've left 1 foot square, unfortunately this beged is still tameh. However, if you've torn it enough that the intact portion of the beged is now only 10 inches by 10 inches, not a full foot by a foot, then you're okay, then you're right. Yeah, but the problem is, we just said now that for purpose of kibbutz begodim, it has to remain a shear of kedei mafoyrus. So I got a problem over here. I thought all I have to do is tear roiv and leave out kedei mafoyrus, and then I'm a kayim shnayim. Says Rav Huna, when you want to go and remove tumah, make sure that the remaining beged is less than a kedei mafoyrus. It's going to be less than a kedei mafoyrus, then I won't be able to makayim the din of kibbutz begodim. Everything on midrabanhu. This din of Rav Huna is not minatayra. Minatayra is like we said it. As long as you tore roiv of the beged, that's already sufficient. For purposes of kibbutz begodim, leave over kedei mafoyrus. Why did Rav Huna say that it has to be less than a kedei mafoyrus? That's midrabanhu. What's the drabanhu, says Rashi? It's a gzeira. What's the gzeira? If you're going to go and tell a person you can leave off kedei mafoyrus, what he might do is he'll have a little bit more rachmanis on the beged, and he might not even tear roiv of the beged. He'll only tear 49% and not 51%. Therefore, they made a gzeira drabun. That gzeira drabun they only did in a vacuum. In a case over here where we're trying to makayim a mitzvah of the kibbutz begadim, here the chum were not machmir. They said, it's okay, as long as you do the diaraisa of cutting roiv of the beged, as long as you leave over kedei mafoyrus, efshe l'kayim shneim, both you remove the tumah, and you have enough of the beged for kibbutz begadim purposes.
Usually we have by a usher, three by three tochem, by an ani, three by three.
We're going to talk about that another three or four lines, right? The three tochem, three, huh? It's going to be three lines. Okay. Good. You just take your eyes, look down 5-6 lines, you see? Sholeh, okay. Sholeh. I'm going to get to it. Can't wait. So that's the first thing. Now, halacha number two, the kli cheres shiyotza. What did we say? Make a nekev in that kli cheres and then bring it back in to be shoifer. Frei timara, kli omarachman, but like kli, once you make that hole in it, it's a useless kli. How can you go and use it? Can you imagine you have a bowl that you use for soup? And oh, that's all these small little holes, and nishkeferlech. Or you have your cup full of hot coffee, a small little hole. But the problem is that that hole allows all the coffee to drain out onto your hands and onto the table and onto the floor. You're not going to use that cup. So this kli is worthless. So what are you telling me? You're going to bring it back into the Azor and now do a shvir of the kli? It's a worthless kli. Everything Gemara, shenikev b'shoyrish katan. He made a very, very small hole, like a small root going through. How small is that? Rashi uses the expression ke moitzi mashke. Moitzi mashke, it's enough that a little mashke will pour out. Other mafarshim say that it shouldn't be ke moitzi mashke, it should be ke machnes mashke. Moitzi mashke is a smaller hole than a machnes mashke. Because if you have a small little hole in it, water can start flowing out, or the liquid can start flowing out. However, for liquid to go and flow in, you need a slightly larger hole. That's called a machnes mashke. For those of you that don't believe it, go and fill up your sink with water and then take one of your cups. Don't use a glass kashrushol. Take a cup and make a small little hole. You'll see that it's dripping out, but not necessarily when you immerse it in the water will water come in. Yeah, okay, so you have to make a abyssal gresa, a little bit larger. But once you get to that point, it loses its thin kli for purposes of tumah v'tahara. However, it's still a kli for purposes of shvira. Isn't it a useless kli? Says Rashi, no. Because until now, you wanted to use it for mashkin, fine. Now you'll convert it to be makabel zeisim. In other words, from this point on, you'll use it for hard items, for solids rather than liquids. For solids, no problem. Just because it happens to be a little hole in the bottom of your cup or in the bottom of your soup plate, don't use it for any mashke, but you can still put in zeisim in it. All the Gemara is talking about putting rimoinim. It depends on what type of kli you're talking about, what the structure of the kli. You have mishnayos and masechtas kelim, which deal with that. The reason why Rashi talks about zeisim, because that's the first mishnah in kelim, perek gimel, mishnah aleph. Anyway, regardless, so that's how we're able to mekayim shneim, small little hole, it's bottle from shame, tuma, because of that hole. However, it's still a kli for purpose of shvira, you can bring it in. And now we come to the third category, and that's a kli nechoshes, poichsai. Poichsai means you make a somewhat larger hole in it, and then you can bring it in and do your marika ushtifa. Freitim of alav klihu. If you're making even a larger hole, aren't you mavatl v'teres kli for purposes of the marika ushtifa? Says you more the rotzif martzif. Rotzif martzif, says Rashi, means makin olav bekornis, umechabrai. What you go and take is a good hammer, and you hammer the sides of that hole back into place so that they should fill up the gap and mechabroi, and therefore it's going to be chozeshem kli olav, but there's no chozeveneir on the tumah, and therefore from this point on, you'll be able to bring it back in and use it for purposes of the mriku shtifa. Okay,
so you melt or you heat it?
Well, the chayyim one could do it that way, but the lashon of the Gemara.
The hole and then you fix it.
Then you fix it, right. The reason why we're doing it is because we want to remove the tumah to be able to bring it back in. In another 2 minutes, we're going to go.
Can you put lead in the middle and
solder it?
Well, we said, if you remember, a few days ago in the Gemara that ein anirus b'mokam ashirus. So since we're presumably talking about a kli shoreis, because it's being used in the Azara, so we said you cannot go and fix it with avar, but we had earlier you'd be able to go, and you wouldn't be able to just melt the surrounding piece, said the Gemara, but you could go melt the entire, and our Gemara is saying over here, for purpose of Mariko Shtif, all you have to do is give a few bangs to go and close up that hole.
Now, Kli Sharis, you said, has a lesser standard. You used a little hole.
Little hole.
But a Benachoshes, why not say the same thing? And you could use a Kli Sharis also for Rimonium or Zaytim.
What you're saying is correct. In fact, the Kli Sharis we're talking about is the Zaytim. What you're asking is, why don't you say the same thing about the Kli Nechoshes? Because the Nechoshes, the Gemara says, go and mix it back together again. Why don't you go and say, no, it's still a good kli that you can still use it for the zeisim or something like that. So Masechtas Kelim, they differentiate between different kelim as to where the din is. Kimoitzi zayis, kimoitzi mashke, kakoinis mashke, kimoitzi rimoinim, the different shiurim. So apparently, I didn't review the whole Masechtas Kelim in advance of this Gemara, but apparently the difference between kli nechoshes and kli cheres for these purposes, how the large the hole would be that your average housewife would go and take the kli and say, this is worthless, and throw it out.
To remove the same kli from a kli cheres, it has to be the size of...
For purposes of Tumah V'Tahara, at least kishir of a shoydish cotton, where Rashi says over here that means moitzi mashka, but others change the Rashi or disagree with the Rashi and say kimachnas
mashka. What does he say about that's a shear for moitzi, for zeisim?
And also Rashi says, because even though it has this hole, it was a soup hole until now, go and tell me it's only kimoitzi mashka, kimachnas mashka, I'm not going to use it anymore. Take the kli and throw it in the garbage. And the answer is, says Rashi, Einachanami, you can no longer use it for mashke, but you can still use it for a salad, such as Rashi says, for moshel zeisim.
Why would you say that it loses its tumah? One would say you still have utility here.
99% of Hilchas Tumah is based on Aloch Lamoshe Misinai.
Okay.
So it's all Gzeiris of Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore we don't know why Kadosh Baruch Hu decided this side, that side, was up there.
Elsewhere we say Shvirosa Zuyi Taroso, Kli Cheres. We never have this Eitza, but that's a small hole, and it's Shvira, it's breaking into shards.
100%.
Why are we so Machmir elsewhere? Is it because of the tension of being able to bring it in and do Shvira? Since we're going to be Shover it anyway, this is just a perfunctory. A perfunctory tara, as it were.
Exactly.
And since we're ultimately the purpose of this is so we can destroy it anyway, so is that why elsewhere we seem to be like, no, break it right away, shatter it into smithereens right away?
Had it not gone out of the Azara, that's exactly what we would have done. He had the Kli Cheres inside the Azara. As soon as we realize, it's about to become noiser, right after it becomes noiser, you go and shatter it immediately on that mokim in the Azara, which is Miyuchad for Shvira. Here the problem is, unfortunately, it's outside the Beis HaMikdash. So bring it back in. It became Tomei. Oh, yeah, can't bring it back in. It's Tomasai. So make at least a ceremonial perfunctory hole in it. Now it loses its Tuma because it's now no longer Kli for Tuma V'tahara purposes, but it's still a Kli that has utility for other purposes. Also, it's enough of a Kli to Mekayim the din of the Shvira in the Beis HaMikdash.
All the noser is tummy anyway. Anything that's noser becomes.
That's not tummy mitraisa. It's a tummy mitraban.
Okay.
Omer ish lakish meil shenitma machnisei bepachas mishalish al shalais umechapsei. Until now, we spoke about a regular beged. A regular beged, go and tear it. And now, what you should do is make sure that it's at least a. You did the tear was more than a roiv. And the amount that was left was kedei mafoyres, and then you could bring it in and do your kibbutz from makom kodesh. Now that all works if you're talking about a kli chol. When I'm talking about kli kodesh or a beged of the kahuna, a beged like the me'il. Me'il was only one beged worn by the kohen gadol, and unfortunately his me'il got soiled, and now the problem is we have to do a kibbutz from makom kodesh. And the second problem is that this me'il became tamei. And it's now outside the Azara. I can't bring it in the Azara. It's tummy. So what should I do? So the eighth of the Mishnah was go and tear it. This is a big problem. You cannot tear it. How do I know you can't tear it?
It's got to be one piece.
That's for sure. But after that, I'll sew it back up together. But if you look at the Torah Ora Shalem, number one, all the way on the left-hand margin, you have that? Bahoya, we're describing in the Torah the construction of the me'il, where you put your head through is in the middle. In other words, similar to our modern day talisim kitanim, taliskutim, that you put your head through. And around the hole where you put the head through, there's going to be a nice hem, a nice stitching. Lo yikareya means you're not allowed to go and tear it. The poshim shot in the posik is do a nice job so it should not tear, so that the me'il will remain intact, and that's why you do the extra stitches and all that. But the Chazal Lun Leikrei means it's an iser of tearing the me'il. And perhaps that applies to other of the big day kahuna, but it certainly applies to me'il, because that's what this pasuk is talking about. So now, the me'il has gone outside the base of Yiddish. It unfortunately became tamei. Well, I have to bring it back to do kibbutz. How can I go and bring it back to do kibbutz? Oh, go and tear it, like it says the Mishnah. I'm not allowed to let you caress. So what do I do?
You can do it from the side.
What do you mean from the side?
Tear it on the side.
Leikarei means you can't tear it at all. Zero, gunish. You're not allowed to tear it. So, Amar Eish Lakish, Me'il Shenitma, Machnisei Bepochis Misholish Al Sholish Umechabsei. I have an eitzah for you. Go and bring it in 3 by 3 etzbo'ois into the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, let's assume that the Mokum Kibbutz is Echvais, 5 by 5 etzbois. Etzbois are the widths of a finger. So it would be basically like 3 fingers like this, like by your kemitza. 3 by 3 is this size. 4 by 4 is that size. 5 by 5 is a whole hand, for instance. So let's assume that the stain from the blood is 4 by 4, 5 by 5. What you should do is take the mokim of the dam and bring it into through the sharniknar only until 2 by 9 by 2 by 9. What does that help me? Because when it comes to begodim, in terms of tumma, the smallest shear that we find of a beged that retains hilchis tumma, if it's 3 by 3. What is that? What's the reason for that? Because an oni will use a beged of 3 by 3 its boys, even though this is very, very small. However, to go and either clean something, or like we had in the Gemara yesterday, to use it perhaps as a patch. So, it has a shikl chashivas. But an osher, 3 by 3 its boys is gunish, it's only 3 by 3 tvachim. A tefach is basically a hand, so it would be 3 hands on top of the other, so of course that's much more considerable. Anyway, so it says over here, since gabi aniyim, the 3 by 3 its boys, that's the minimum. Okay, so then be machnis through the Shar Niknor, through a window, through any door that you can, into the Azara, that part of the me'il that has been stained, and go and be machnis that, and then bring your people that do the stain removal in the Azara, right next to that Pesach, work on that Sholish, the Pochis Misholish Sholish, the 2.9 by 2.9, Mechapsoi, oh, Baruch Hashem, you did a great job. And then you continue on and do the remaining two or three or up to three etzbois that have become soiled and do a second kibbutz. So this way I'm not going to bring the whole beged in. I'm just going to bring that minimal amount of beged that I'm allowed to bring in without violating the hilchos, bringing in a tummy dikka beged, tummy dikka kli into the azor, into the Beis HaMikdash, clean it, and then take the next piece that is still stained and stick that in. And of course, if it's a much larger stain, then you do this three or four times until the entire stain has been washed out. Has been
why are we saying three by three etzbos if the in this Mashiris, the standard for entry of and consuming a beged in the Beis HaMikdash should be three by three tefachim?
I love it. I mean, Barry, you're brilliant. The presumably the reason for that is because we are so concerned about Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. If you're not allowed to go and bring Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to go and use the most smallest possibility to be memachmer on Hilchas Tumah D'Oraisa. We don't want to be violate this din of bringing in something Tumah into the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, it's three by three
etzbois. So here you're going to do pochis, less than that. Because once it's 3x3 etzbois, it retains its Tumah. If it's less than 3x3, I thought you were going to ask another kasha, and that is we had earlier on in our Masechta that there's a man yama that holds bia b'miktzis shmo bia. So therefore, unless you happen to be a metzoyra, where the Torah requires you to go and put in your finger and put in your oizen, so that bia b'miktzis is permissible. The Gemara was talking about what happens if on l'moshul erev Pesach you want to quickly a person who is a metzoyra wants to get his tahara from the metzoyras to be able to go and eat the Karban Pesach that night. So normally no problem. Bia b'miktzis lav shmo bia by metzoyra, because that's exeris hakasav. Otherwise, he would never be able to get his tahara. You can't go and take the loik shemen or take out any of the blood outside the azara, and he's not allowed to come in the azara because he's tummy. So therefore, the Torah gives you this break. He's allowed to go and put in his boyin and also his ear. But other than that, you're not allowed to go in. Said the Gemara, what happens if on Erev Pesach he becomes a mushal of Balkeri or becomes a Zov or something like that? So when are we going to do that? Maybe Balkeri, maybe you have that at night, he can already be tor. But the Zov might need, if he's a Zov Godel, he's going to need 7 days, etc. So what do you do then? So the Gemara was also speculating then whether you can perhaps allow Migui that you're allowing him for the Tsaras to go in, maybe out to the Balkeri, out to Ziva too. And the Gemara says, no, if you hold Bim Mimiksa Shmobia, he's not allowed to go in, and therefore he's stuck. He's going to have to bring the Karban Pesach, Pesach Shiny. Anyway, that was the Gemara we had back on Daf Lamed Beis. So Tois's reference is that here on the bottom. It says, Tois is, that's only by a person, Bim Mimiksa Shmobia. See, the Tois is Machnise Pachas Mishalosh. See, about 5 lines from the bottom of the Amid, yeah. 5 lines from the bottom, till. You see, Machlis and Pachas Misholish. I feel him on the Omer, Breish Kol Psumi, makes a Shema Bia. How are we allowing this stain of 2.9 by 2.9? Shani Begit, Hoyle Biyacha Lechayv Chay, Lechashiv Ki'ilu Nichnas Kulay.
Even as if it's cut off.
Exactly. And even though Bam the Il, you cannot actually cut it. You're only deeming it. But that's already enough to take away the Chashivas of the Bia, but makes a Shema Bia. But by a person, he can't go and cut off his nose or cut off his toes.
Despite
his face, exactly. You cannot go and cut any part. However, this is by a regular beged, you can, and at least physically you can go and cut this me'il as well, even though halachically you cannot. So since it's able to be mechutach, you don't say that same din of
Yom
Kippur.
Okay. Similar like in Yom Kippur, somebody doesn't feel well to eat.
Gimachutzi shir.
But it's a person.
Less than a chifo.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Beautiful. Shkoyach. So here too we're going to go and do a chutzi shir to allow for the kibbutz begodim in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's very good. Milsha nidma machdis bachim misholish misholish machabse mishim shenem alo yikore. Moise Ravada bar Ahava, so Ravada bar Ahava asks, ha'ovin v'harachim ein behem mishim misholish al sholosh. What does that mean? Oven means a very thick fabric, or rachim, a very soft fabric. There the din of sholish al sholish does not apply. Why doesn't it apply, says Rashi? Because it's not ro'oi even to go and make a patch out of it, either because it's too soft. The whole reason why you're making a patch is to reinforce, very good, thank you, the hole that you have in your pants or wherever you have that hole. If it's going to be too soft or too thick, it's not going to work as a patch. You have to have a patch, has to be rigid, has to be hard, but not too thick and not too thin, etc. Exactly. So what can you go and use this type of oven verachin for? Says Rashi, you can go and use it leishev olav, to go and sit on it. Because after all, if it happens to be nice and plump with its oven, if it's thick material, or if it's rachin or it's nice and soft, so then you can go and sit on something like that. But Rashi says that if it's going to be sholish al sholish its boys, nobody's going to be interested in sitting on a little thing which is only 3 inches by 3 inches. So that's ridiculous. So therefore, in that case, oven rachin, it gets upgraded to shloisha al shloisha tvachim. So that would be the shear. Frank Tech Rashi, me'il by definition was avu, it was thick. How do I know that a me'il was thick? So the Heilige Rashi, by stating the Gemara Yuma, that chuton kofel shneim osar, it was 12 strand. Can you imagine? 12 ply. Like these tissues, lahavdil, are 2 ply. Can you imagine it was 12 ply? You would not be able to use it in any place where it would stuff up in the base kisses, as you know. So, they're talking about 12 ply, that was a thick beggin. If it's a thick beggin, then the shear of sholish al sholish doesn't apply. It's rather shloish al sholish applies. So, Ibazoi, why did the Gemara say omrei shlokish? Just make sure that you go and take in less than sholish al sholish. Sholish al sholish, its voice is not the rule. Since you talk about the me'il, which is thick, the rule should be a shloish al sholish. That's what you freak the Gemara. And for the Gemara, if you're talking about a regular beged, you're 100% right. However, you were talking about the me'il. Me'il agav avien. Avien means the big, big beged to which this little piece is attached. Chashivi gets a special chashivos. And therefore, even though normally oven verachin takad halacha would be shloisha shloisha tfachim. However, if you're talking about oven such as the me'il, because it's chashivos, even 3 by 3 at spoys already would have a dover choshev ma'oid, and therefore, what would be the din? It would retain its tumma, even though it's less than shloisha shloisha tvach. Okay, now the next tikkun of our boy really is not related to the previous gemara. It's a general general kasha. What's the kasha? Part of the Hilchos Kibbutz, which we haven't really gotten into, we may have mentioned it once or twice over the last few days. Kibbutz, the Iker is Kibbutz Mamakom Kodesh. But it's more than that. You have to use for your detergents the Shivas Samimanim. Where do we find this din of the Shivas Samimanim? We primarily find it Lagabi Hilchos Nida and Lagabi Hilchos Nigoyim. And the Gemara brings now, don't you need the 7 mamonim to go and remove the stain as part of the kibbutz process? Dam chatos, that's our case. Umaris negoim, tzrichin shiva samamonim. What's the definition of a shiva samamonim? So Rashi already brings here 4 or 5 lines before the end. Rashi says, inin ksamim, you're talking about a kesim, if you want to determine whether this kesim happens to be dam nida or not, so then you can try using these detergents and see if it automatically goes off or it doesn't. And there are 7 altogether. One's roik tofel, mei raglayim, nasir, boiris, oihel, kamunya, and ashlag. Those are the 7. The roik tofel is the easiest. Roik, of course, you know, means spittle, it means saliva, but tofel means that you haven't eaten that day yet. Person wakes up in the morning before he takes his first coffee, before he eats whatever he eats, so then that saliva, if you will, is undiluted. That's the undiluted roik that we're talking about. Meir glaim, of course, is normally referred to as urine. What are the other things? Nasir, boiris, oil, kamunya, ashlag. So
you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble on that? Yeah, well, I'm not.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble. I got you. I got this. It took me a while, but I got it. Shkoyach. Anyway, so what is the definition of all of these 7? So I happen to have with me an art scroll who teaches these 7. Roik tofel is tasteless saliva. The saliva of a person before he has tasted anything that day. May greisen are chewed bean paste. Greisen are like beans that you use in the chulent. So may greisen are that you already chew it. Make sure that you don't have to go. You have to go to. Sorry?
It doesn't say make recent in this list.
Okay. It may not say it in the Rashi, but it's in the list in Mesechtas Nida. And after the make recent, the chewed bean paste, you have meiraglayim, which is the urine. Number 3, after that comes the neser, or niter, N-I-T-E-R, which is a mineral. Okay. Boiris is soap wort. That's one word. Soap, and then W-O-R-T. That's an herb. Kimunya is kimunya. The precise identity of the substance is unclear. Ashlag is ashlag. What is that? A substance found in the crevices of an ocean pearl. Right? You open up those oysters and you find it in the pearl, and then you find some substance in there. So everybody else says, you can't eat that stuff from the pearl. You're right. We're not eating it. We're taking that and using that as a detergent.
So the Shinas Chorus does say, Nosaf may grease them and nimchak ohal.
So then we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not quite nervous. Good, so those are the seven that you have to use for the Samumar. Okay, so what's the problem? So use these seven. The problem is, V'tanya, Elisha'im machlisim meiraglayim la'mikdash. Now let her bring the meiraglayim into the base of Mikdash. And you're telling me meiraglayim is the second of these seven, or the third of these seven substances. And these are the ones that you have to use for the damchatas. Damchatas tzorich, tzorich, and shivas amamanim. This is an impossibility. If you have to have seven, and the seven includes the meiraglayim, you can't bring the meiraglayim in. Now why can't you bring the meiraglayim in?
Of course, you do it outside.
You cannot let the kibbutz from Makom Kodesh. You have to do it inside. So now we normally think of meiraglayim as being urine, as our scholar in residence has told us. However, there is a shita mekubetzis and meseches krisis. When we learn this in the last machzor, either meseches nida or here meseches vachim, Mendy pointed it out that there is another pshat in meiraglayim. What's the pshat in meiraglayim? He brings over here meiraglayim mamish. This is I'm quoting the shita mekubetzis. Mamish ugnaihu l'hachnis bazara. You don't have to explain why. You're bringing in urine to Azara. Come on. Urine should be in a besakisa. However, v'yesh mafarshim that esev shekach shemoi, there was an herb, a grass or something that had the name meiraglayim. Ne Hashem shehu gnai lo hayu loichen oisa. So whenever you say pitam haktoidis, either as part of the kabbonis or as part of the right before Aleinu, as part of the inkelikeno, and he talks about putting in the meiraglayim, el sheim machnis and meiraglayim b'migdash mepnei hakavod. So normally you think mepnei hakavod. What's the reason? Is come on, bring urine in. Number two, the second shot is no, we're not bringing urine at all. We're talking about an ace of shishmoy meiraglayim, and we're just not bringing it because the name stinks, not because the meiraglayim stinks, but because the
maybe
name itself.
The name smelled like
probably
or it was very fertilized
or people urinate where this meiraglayim grass is to not damage other herbage or foliage or whatever.
Wow, what
could be
theory.
Could be. Could be. Anyway, we'll just
could be that. A nutrient in the meiraglayim, actually the adraba.
So once again that you are neutralizing it. We're going to talk about neutralizing it. Nutrient. Okay, basically, I don't know.
Has nitrogen and
protein. Fertilizer.
Okay.
Nutter. Yeah, nutter is one of the.
Yeah. The mineral, yeah. Anyway, getting back to in the siddur we have over here, Yen Kafrisin Shewa, there, Pita Mektaris Hatzari Vahat Tzipoyin. Tzipoyin is number two of the list of the 11 Samamanin. And for those of you that are wondering what Tzipoyin is, in Finn's English, it's Onika. O-N-Y-C-H-A.
That clears it up
for sure. Onika. Anyway, what do you do with Onika to really go and clean it? It says in the Tvila, Yein Kafrisin Shishoyrin Boyes Tzipoyrin. We take this Yein Kafrisin, which is Cyprus wine, and we put the Tzipoyrin, this Onika, in it. So now it's really unique. Kadesha Tehiaza, so it should be nice and strong. Probably Meiraglayim, the often law. Really, Meiraglayim would be better than the Yein Kafrisin. You can't bring a meiraglayim because of the COVID. What's the problem? So now you know, according to Shittim Metzis, there are two potential problems. If we're talking about meiraglayim, mamish, come on, a real gnai. And even if it's not, if it's that fancy herb, which is called meiraglayim for whatever reason, you can't just because of the name itself, it's also not a COVID to bring it in. So therefore, you'll use your yein kafrisin to go and be shoyda as a tzipoyin. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So I have a big problem now. I have to use the meiraglayim, whatever the definition is, as part of the samamonim, but I can't bring it into the mikdash. And for the Gemara, maybe I have an answer. The mivla luhu bahavi shiva samamonim. Don't put it in one at a time. Take all seven and make aganta chulant out of the seven samamonim, and have this included together with the others. It'll be bottled to the other six. So that lechur would be an eitzah, so I don't have a problem. And this will not only be an eitzah for the damchata, it'll be an eitzah every day when you're I have to be sure that tziporem. So tomorrow about the number, this eitzah doesn't work because we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah Mesechtes Nida have viran shloi kesidon or shehever shivasan kiachar. If you did them shloi kesidon, it's got to be the seder that we spoke about, the roitofel and then the may grease and the may raglayim and the neser and the boiters. It's got to be in that order. And that being the case, that's number one. Oy shehever shivasan kiachar. Or if you mixed all of them seven and you took that whole mixture, li osvalikum segunish vet. It doesn't, number one, it doesn't do the trick, but number two, it doesn't fulfill the requirements for removing the stain of the mechatos. Maybe you're going to go and tell me the mevilahu bahadichat simanim. Okay, don't mix all seven together. Go mix it with one of the other seven. Well, if you're going to do it with one that mushal number four or five or six on the list, then it'll be shaloi kesidra. But even if you did a kesidra, in other words, mixing it with the one before or with the one thereafter, it's still no good. But tzarech lekaskes sholish pa'omim b'chol echad v'echad. You have to do the kiskus. Remember we spoke about the kiskus yesterday? You rub the two sides of the beged once against the other, l'shafshev, to get the kesem out. And you have to do this 21 times. In other words, use each one of the detergents, and each time you rub it three times. And since you're doing seven times three, 21 altogether. But you're not going to do that if you're going to go and mix it together with one of the other samamanim. Ella says, I'll tell you why. Not I'll tell you why, but I'll tell you how. To mivlahu b'roit tuffel. Roit tuffel, which was the first on the list, you're going to add a drop of that to the meir aglaim. And not only meir aglaim. The Yom Reish Lokish, roit tuffel tzarech sheheim kol echad v'echad. I guess to go and give it its potency, you have to add a little bit of that undiluted fresh roik from the morning with every one of the other six. So therefore, it's not going to be meraglaim on its own. It's going to be meraglaim with that roik tofel, which is going to make it a shtikl tofel. And as a result, tofel with a tes will no longer be the ikr, now be the shtikl tofel. That's enough to go and remove the name meraglaim. But migdash, no, it's not meraglaim. It's the roik tofel mit abyssal and meraglaim mixed it together. Oh, okay,
that should be the hez.
Sorry, Nahum?
That should be the esen.
The esen, the esen. Why do we have the esen? Why?
It could still have miraglaim the other way.
I understand, but Morris is saying that as long as you add the right tuffle, that takes away the noxious name. I don't know if it takes away the noxious fumes, but at least the name that's called miraglaim, you know, it's part of the mixture with the right tuffle, so then it becomes a tuffle to the right tuffle, and that's already okay for purposes of, yeah.
And the that you can mix it with that because that's a universal, in other words, it's not considering though.
No, but Rashi says that that's the Quintresh Lakish, like Tafel Tzarech Shehei. So you have, what you're saying is correct. What you're going to have is, therefore, seven applications of the detergent, each one individually. First, you're going to start off with the right Tafel alone. You don't have to mix right Tafel with right Tafel, because right Tafel is already right Tafel.
Right.
Then you're going to go and do that three times, go and do your Kiskus and Shifshuf. After that, you'll have the Megrisen or the Meiraglein, and again, you're going to add some right Tafel. Go and do it three times. Then you're going to have your Meir Glein with the Reik Tuffel, then the Nesser with the Reik Tuffel, then the Boidus Reik Tuffel. Uh-huh. Everything you're going to add the Reik Tuffel to each one.
Is the universal.
The reversal remedy.
Base.
It's the base number one on its own, and then it's going to be the additive to all the other six. So therefore, after doing all seven and doing it three times each, that'll be 21. Voyisa ach sameach, you'll be happy that you're makayim the mitzvah. Exactly, bihiduroi, ach is 21. Okay, on to the next question.
Practically, I mean, blood splattering everywhere in the Beit L'Chaim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like an unbelievable.
That may be kosher.
That makes L'Chaim is not a problem. So it has to be from the Hazor. So it has to be
from Dama Nefesh. Dama
Nefesh that came into the
Mizrach. That also, I mean, it splashes.
I'm sure the Kahanim's reason, hey, they know about this and they're very careful. Listen, they didn't go to school for 5 years to
mess up, literally.
Exactly, to mess up, literally. They don't want a stain, not only on their begodim, but on their reputation. Okay, on to the next mission. Look, the mission of Aita, Echad Shemisho, Boi V'Echad She'iru L'Toycha, Roiseach. Now we're getting back to the dinim of the Marika Ushtifo and or the Shvira. Meaning, we have our Klicheres. Let's talk about Shvira. We have our Klicheres. A Klicheres, if you cooked in it, L'Moshel Akarmen Chatos, and then after that, you find out, I put in the Kli Cheres, there's no way I can purge it, I can't use it anymore, so then there's a different, what's the din state in the Torah? Yishav, right? Kli Cheres, Yishtemushim, boy Yishav. Fine. Now the next question is, what happens if I didn't actually cook the chatos inside this kli cheres, but rather I cooked in another kli that was a kli nechoshes, and that's fine. Moirik of shuta for moyim, but then after that, as a result of the cooking, the mushal, if I boiled some of that meat, so now I have the soup. So I took some of the soup and I poured the soup from the kli rishon into the kli shein, into this second kli cheres. Okay, says our Mishnah, even if it wasn't actually cooked inside the kli, but you just poured it from another kli into that kli, that's enough for our purposes to require shvira in the azar. So echad shebishul bay, ve'echad she'ira le'toicha, you poured the soup from another kli, that's also enough. You don't need more than that. You don't have to be out. Why didn't it say in the pasuk, richer sasheh tevushal bay? It sounds like it's a chiyuv a bishul. That's going to be the first Gemara right after we finish the Mishnah. We'll address that. So that's number one. Number two, the halacha of this Shvira is Echad Kodshi Kudushim, Yechad Kodshim Kalim, Tuna. Okay, so we're leaving now Shvira. We're going now to Mariku Shtifa. Mariku Shtifa, as we've spoken about before, is in a Kli Nechoshes and a metal Kli, not a Kli Nechoshes. A metal Kli, you have in it anything that requires Mariku Shtifa. You shouldn't think that's maybe only a din by Karm Chatos, but not by other Kodshi Kudushim. Or maybe it's only Kodshi Kudushim and not Kodshim Kalim, says our Mishnah, the Tanakhama. Echad Kodshi Kudushim, V'echad Kodshim Kalim, you cooked it in one of these metal kelim, Te'una Mriku Shtifa. Reb Shimon Oimer, Kodshim Kalim, Ein Te'una Mriku Shtifa. Reb Shimon agrees partially to Tanakhama. Yes, I agree that Kodshi Kudushim is not only the Karm Chatos, Lemushal Karm and Asham, or the Shalmei Tzibur, same Aloch applies, Mriku Shtifa. But once you get to Kodshim Kalim stage, for instance, you did shlomim or other things, then you don't need to do marika u'shtifa. Now Rashi immediately points out that people are going to start screaming, hey, isn't there going to be blios of noiser over there? Don't you have to do marika u'shtifa just to get those blios out? So Rashi says, don't start screaming. We're going to learn a mitzvah in the Gemara tomorrow, that even though it doesn't require Mariko Shtifa, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to purge, you don't have to try to go and take out any of the blios inside. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to do a Hagolah. Yes, you have to do a Hagolah, but you don't have to do Mariko Shtifa. What's the difference between Mariko Shtifa Hagolah? That's going to be mentioned tomorrow's Gemara on the Amid base in Yetzisha. Anyway, we get back to the beginning of the Mishnah where we said that a din of the Shvira is not only by Bishul, but even Ira L'Toicha Reisech. Tanabai says in the pasuk, "Uchli cheres hashiv tivushal bo yishaver." In the shabishul bay, iru toichay reseach minayin. How do I know there is a din of shvira? Tamaloimer vashe tivushal vo yishaver. What does the Gemara mean? So says Rashi, the extra word voy. Says in the pasuk, "Uchli cheres hashiv tivushal vo yishaver." It would be enough to say, "Uchli cheres shetivushal yishaver, asher tivushal yishaver." What do I need the boy? We're obviously talking about the kli cheres, we're not talking about anything else. So the boy would seem to be a redundant or an unnecessary term. Often that boy comes to tell you that even if it's not a tevusha, but there's roseach boy, it's the heavy-duty, very hot karmen chatos, chatos soup, chatos gravy, or whatever was poured into that second kli, same halacha applies because it's boy. Okay, so what do we see from this? I see from this, until I learned this mission, this Gemara, I might have thought that you have to have two requirements. Bishul and the potential for blios. Bishul and blios, that was what causes you to have to do a shvir. I just learned now from this Gemara, from this Mishnah, that you don't have to have both bishul and blia. Blia is enough, even though you are not mevasha. And therefore the next Gemara is going to talk about what happens if it's the other way around. Instead of having a blia without a bishul, what happens if I have a bishul without a blia? How is that possible? What happens if you go and take your karma chatos? You're not boiling it, you're not frying it, but you are barbecuing or you are roasting it in a tanner on a spit. And the spit is there smack in the middle of your tanner. And now the problem is that, not a problem, you didn't need to go and put any liquid around it. The natural meat and the natural fats around it are going to cause juice, and that juice is going to go and ooze down to the bottom. Uh-huh. And either this tanner has no bottom, or say the Mefarshim, no, it does have a bottom, but the bottom of the tanner is full of hot charcoal, hat gecholim. And every drop that spills falls directly into the gecholim and sizzles and evaporates and never hits the actual walls or the bottom of the tanner. So you have a bishul in the tanner, but you don't have a blia in the tanner. Is boyrim machamet loy ba'aver tanner mal. A bishul below who the kabad rachmana. Do we say generally the Torah requires a bishul that also requires a blua? In other words, like your normal situation where the bishul, whether it's the roasting or the cooking or the frying or whatever,
you can't have one without the other.
That's what one would think, and therefore in our case they don't have a bishul bilua. They only have a bishul. Oy dilma a bishul bloy bilua. Maybe the Torah was not mechayiv dafka bilua. After all, it just says in the pasuk, "Kricher seshet tevushal boy yishaver." It doesn't say "seshet tevushal v'nivla boy yishaver." It has to be a bishul. Zutach bishul. So maybe that's enough to go and require the din of shvira. Amar Rav Toshma. Let's bring it right from my mission. Echad shebishul boy v'echad sheir l'toychei reiseach. So what is the Rai of Rabbah? Rabbah is saying, as you see from this second case with Ira Toich HaRiseach, that you don't need both Bishul and Balua. Even Balua without the Bishul is enough in the form of pouring it from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni, still red hot, very, very, very hot. So there was no Bishul in the second Kli, but there was certainly a Balua in the second Kli. That's enough, says our Mishnah. So therefore the Gemara assumes, no, our case is just the mirror image. Here we don't have a Bilua b'loy bishul. Here we have a bishul b'loy bilua, and so therefore maybe that's the same. I can be pushing my shayla. I don't have to have both requirements. One is enough. Says Rami Vachama, with all due respect, Rava. Bilua b'loy bishul kami boyalan. Bilua. The ikar, of course, is to talk about the b'liyos inside. That's what causes this klina choishes to become noiser, and that's why it has to be broken. That's no shayla. Of course, bilua. Keep Mayulan our shayla is bishul b'loy bilua mai. So therefore, you tried very nicely to go and say, you see, you only need one requirement. That one requirement I understood on my own.
It's intermediate to the final process, product of Balua.
Right.
But the question was to be or not to be.
To be or not to be.
To be.
To be, exactly. Not to be. And not to be. So the bishul, b'loy bilua, that B of the two bishul, that's my shayla, b'loy bilua, my, is that enough to require shvir?
How do you have bishul without bilua?
Bishul b'lua is that you have bishul, as you know, it doesn't only mean cooking, it includes even roasting. So you can go and roast a chatzos on the spit inside of your large kli cheres, your furnace, your oven, which is made out of kli cheres. However, you make sure the spit does not touch the right or the left, except for the ends, I guess, to hold it up. But you put your meat in the middle, so the meat and whatever gravy and whatever fats, none of that touched any of the walls. Are you going to tell me, but it oozes down underneath that korban machatas was full of gecholim, and that consumed all of the of any oozing from the meat. So therefore, you only have bishul, but you don't have bilua. My, do you have to now destroy this kli cheres? Toshima, Adim Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avua, Tanis Shel Mikdash Shel Matris Oya. It wasn't made out of cheres, it was made out of matkos, made out of metal. So the Bishul Kedaita, Bishul Balei Belua, Oy Bazoi, Loi Kapid, Nevet Shul Cheres. If you're going to tell me that the psak to the Shaila of Ram Bar Choma is that it's Bishul Balei Belua, the Torah is not Makbid and doesn't require Shvira, so Nevet Shul Cheres, why was there Hakpod, the Dafka, Nanashul Mikta should be made out of matkos? Why don't you make it out of cheres? And furthermore, if the only thing that I would use the oven were for this type of roasting on a spit with the gecholim on the bottom, you're absolutely right. However, it was used for other purposes too. What was it used for? To go and bake matzos. Well, were you making matzos? You know, it's Erev Pesach or something. You have Erev Pesach matzos.
No, all the menachos were, except for the lechem and the matzos of the Torah. The chalas of the Torah.
One of the four species.
Right, right. Everything else was matzah.
Exactly. So what happens? I have shiori menachos. I don't want to eat flour. Flour doesn't have a lot of taste to it. So I want to go and make it into a nice matzah. Or a matzah cake. Or whatever. To go and bake it in the oven. So Timur kim diik a shiori menachos. Tafiyosan bitaner. Vehicle bishul ubilua. Why is it bishul bilua? Because in the good old days, how did they go and make chalas or matzahs or cakes? They were attached to the walls of the Tanakh. Really?
You read us a pas.
That's right. In Masechet Shabbos, it talks about ridoy or redias apas as being a malach on Shabbos if you were to go and remove the challah or the matzah or whatever from the wall of that oven. Ah, so you see it's touching the wall. Touching the wall, mishul bilua. And what is touching the wall? You're talking about the Karim Mincha and the oil is touching the wall. Oh, so the Zoi, that's my concern, and that's the reason why I didn't make it a cheres. Therefore, Avdin and Shel, Matches, you shouldn't have to go and break every single day. You bring a brand new, oh, Rabbi Yisrael, good news, let's make a chinuch suda for a brand new oven. What is the oven made out of? Earthenware, just to take it out. We need to go and use it out of metal, because otherwise every day we're going to have to do a new shvir. Okay, now Yomar tells us a story. Nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, now just in general. Now many of you are probably aware of that you're not allowed to go and eat milchiga rolled or milchiga bread. In other words, if you have bread or rolls that somebody poured milk into, or cheese or whatever made of milchigs, you're now going to eat it, even though if you're only going to go and eat it with milchigs. Go and eat it in the morning with your coffee, you're not allowed to do that. What's the problem? Why? Because of?
It's not nigger. You'll mean basar b'chalav. You might put a burger patty on it, and you'll eat basar b'chalav.
Exactly. It has to be nigger.
Rabbi Cohn, Oliver Shalom, was always very upset about this, that they sold, that they have a hechsher to bread, O-U-D, or triangle K-D, with the dairy. How can you sell bread that has dairy?
It was worse than that. It wasn't the bread. It was Frankfurter rolls.
It's miyuchad for
Frankfurter rolls.
Yeah.
It's milchig. So it said on it either okay or chof K with a big D. Right. So people knew that it was a dairy. So the question is whether or not...
But who looks so carefully? Right.
Okay. Well. Anyway, I may even have said dairy. D-A-I-O-R-Y.
I never any bread with any dairy in my house.
We never had. I didn't understand why we never had white bread. We heard about silver cup. We heard about it.
Now you know what? Of course, you knew already many years ago. Anyway, so it says. However, the Gemara says there is a heter. What's a heter? If you make it in a very special form,
right,
make like a triangular shape or something.
Right.
I've never seen bread or rolled in a triangular shape. That's so strange.
Right.
Because it's milchigs. Oh, it's called milchigs. Oh. So if it's nicker, that it's different, then there's a heter.
But it shouldn't be a triangle.
That's why by the way, the triangle, I think we said we're in Chulin that the triangle symbol is exactly for that reason. Because the Gemara says cutting a triangle, I think that's why that Hakshar takes a triangle as their symbol.
Interesting.
Could be. Now, the Masa, so what's the answer to this Frankfurter roll? So you, the Rabbi Cohen or somebody called up and they said that they asked their Rabbanim who are in charge of their Hashkacha, and they said that since it says on the package that it's D or it's Diri, that's already enough of a hecker.
No one looks.
So nobody looks, and then the question is, that's very nice if you're taking it out of the package, but if you put it on the table without the package. So they said, Taki, you should go and put the package on the table underneath it, they should see it as there. Okay, anyway, that's a story with Rabbi Cohen, the Kohen
Gebracha. It's terrible.
Yeah, Vad is terrible Takala. Good, that's why he was always screaming about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, now we have a reverse situation. Not milchiga bread, but fleishiga bread. But that's the same problem. If you have fleishiga bread or fleishiga rolls, you might eat in the morning with a piece of cheese or cottage cheese or milk or your coffee or whatever. So that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Hayu tanura, there was a tanner, the atchubatichai. Atchubatichai means that they smeared it with a particular type of schmaltz, and they went and baked in it bread subsequently. Asra Rabba Bar Ahiloi, Rabba Bar Ahiloi was very, very adamant. He said it's Asra L'mechla, L'rifta, L'oilam. What means L'oilam? Forever. I'm going to eat it now and put it in my freezer and eat it in a year from now. No, even if you had multiple hasakos thereafter. In other words, on Monday morning, they went and smeared the walls of this tanner. And then after that, they put in the bread. And then afterwards, the bread came out. So says Rabbi Eloi, Osir, throw it out. You're not allowed to eat it. It's fleishiga bread. We're worried about you're going to eat it together with milchik. No good. Next day, Tuesday morning, the tanner is already cooled off. We baked new bread in it. Said Rabbi Eloi, no good. Wednesday morning, no good. He held that this tanner now is a fleishiga tanner. Any bread that you go and bake in it forever and ever always will be awesome. And even says Rashi, says the Gemara, afil b'milcha, even though the only ingredient that you're adding to this bread is not fleishiks, they're not milchiks. You're just adding a little bit of salt, like we typically do when we start off the meal. No. Why? Because you might eventually go and eat it with kutach. Kutach is a type of yogurt, type of milchi, a dip. So, kindred. I'll ask you a question, Rabbi Eloy. A loshen is a isa b'cholav. The same thing we were talking about before. Don't go make a milchi gedol to make a bread. And if you did, because of what we just spoke about, by accident you're going to eat it with flesh. Same thing now on the other, the reverse. Ain't toshen is a taner ba'aliyah. We're talking about kosher aliyah. Don't go and smear it with as our fats. Vim tosh kolapas kula asura. So far, consistent with what we were learning. Ad shiyasik is a tanner. It's only the first time when you go and use the pas when the tanner has been geshmiert with the aliyah. But the second time, the third time, that's already okay. At shiyasik tanner. If you heated up the tanner subsequently, you don't have to worry about that this aliyah remains there forever. L'oilam. Just the first time. Second time, once the tanner is cooled off and now you go and baking it again, that's okay. The pas is kusha v'yusha. Oy, tifter Rabbi Eloy, tifter. We have a big kasha Rabbi Eloy, because Rabbi Eloy just said now you can't use an oilam. So we agree with Rabbi Eloy the first time you can't use it because it's fleishig of bread, just like you can't use milchig of bread. Can't eat it, throw it out. However, the second time, it's already okay. According to what Rabbi Eloy just said, not according to the tifter, the matogif right Rabbi Eloy. Why did Rav say that the gederes, when it comes to Pesach, you have to go and break? Why don't you just go and say, I cooked in it whatever I cooked, my chometz, and we're done. And then, what happened to the blias? The blias, once you yasik, but once you use it a second time, the heat destroys it all, so you can continue. Why do you have to go and break these gederes? Now, gedera is not referring to an oven. Yeah. Gedera is referring to a kli, like a pot. Right, there is a pot. So now, why does he have to go and break the pot? Just make sure you used it once, fine, heat it up again or whatever, but it doesn't mean you have to go and break it. Amalei Rav Muki Lo Ahi Bishal Matches. Oh, it's not talking about that it was made out of cheres. It was made out of matches. What means ahi? That that we said before in that Brais or the Mishnah the Gemara quoted. That in Loshen it's Isa B'chol, in Loshen Kol Baskol Asura. In Loshen it's a Tana but Aliyim and Torah. Chiyasek is a Tana. That Tana was talking about with Matches. So Matches, as we know, we don't
kasher,
go
in Kasher.
In Kasher, so no problem. So you use it the second time. Yasek is a Tana, so it's fine. However, this Gedera was made out of, apparently, made out of Cheres. Cheres is no way of getting out the Blias inside. You should really have to go and break it. The boy is saying, well, you don't have to come on to that. You can say that the earlier Halachas Ultu Tana Shul Cheres. There's a difference between where the heat element is, from the outside or from the inside. What does that mean? That when you're talking about a tanner, where is the heat coming from? From the inside of the tanner. Where the bli is coming from? From the inside of the tanner. It's like a kiboilei kachpoltei situation. Yes, the blias of the aliyah went into the tanner, but I heated up the tanner from the inside with new gecholim, and those gecholim purge all of the terrible, terrible blios of aliyah that were there until now. Mashengi by a kedera, the kedera, the iser is in inside where the food is cooking. Like if you're talking about a chometz sticky kedera, the chometz is cooking inside. However, the heating element is only from the outside because a kedera, by definition, a pot, you don't put cholim inside. You have the cholim or the heat source down below, and then the heat source is underneath, like we have on top of our stoves. We have the kedera, and the heat is from the outside. Ah, so that heat from the outside is not going to be enough to purge all the blios of the food, which is inside. So that's why that kedera, I have no choice, you should marry, you have to go and break. So there's a difference between a tana shulcheres and a kedera shulcheres. Why don't you take that kedera and say, I know typically I have my heat element on the bottom.
That's a kasherit, we'll use extraordinary methods.
And we'll put all types of gecholim and heat inside the pot and break it away. Yeah, exactly. And for the more chayis alayim the mitbari, anybody that owns such a kli cheres, are you crazy? You're going to put in hot coals? The whole thing is going to go and break. You may not be careful. This is delicate. This is not, you know, sturdy steel or something like that. Right. This is, you're talking about a kli cheres. Therefore, people are going to have moiters, and they're not going to do it, or if they do it, they're going to do it, you know, 1, 2, 3 for 10 seconds, they're not going to do a proper job, and therefore, we don't rely on that type of putting the heat inside. Hilkach, and therefore, Hai Kuvya. What are Kuvya? Rashi says, the last Rashi, Ra'ofim Chalulin. What exactly are Ra'ofim? Ra'ofim are tiles. Tiles are also used sometimes as a base for heat, for making a pot, or making an oven, or what have you. Says Rashi, Kimin Shvisas Kedera, Upa'omim Shetochen Uysi Shemin, Va'oifim Bay Lechem, Hakori Tichai. Sometimes you shmir in shemen and you make lechem with it. Says Igmara, Hai Kuvya has seken bachutzu. It's not like your normal oven where the heating element, your gecholim, your charcoals are inside. Here, these kuvya, you have the hot tiles from the outside. You put your coals and you bake from the inside. Oh, so then it becomes just like a kedera. Just like a kedera, but also then there's no heter for that. You're going to have to go and break it, just like we said by the kederas. What about the kederas shel mikdash? Mention that will be for tomorrow.
Why do they say the lashon